I want to say thank you for letting us come. It's certainly been a blessing. It has been a real joy to be able to fellowship with your pastor again and to see the Vicks and their family. A lot of memories from a long time ago. I'm grateful that Brother Jerry is here in the church again and serving the Lord, and I know he's a real asset of he and his family. Let me just share this thought. Among the things that I'm most grateful for this year, this time of the year, is that I'm thankful for the investments that others have made in my life.
Yes, sir.
My family.
Yep.
My ministry. I'm grateful. I don't take it for granted. Amen. I think of men like Dr. B.R. Lakin, men like Dr. James W. Crumpton, yep, men like Dr. Lee Robertson, Dr. J.R. Faulkner, men like Dr. Ray Hancock. I can go on and on down the list. Men that has invested in my life,
yes, sir,
and my family and my ministry. Men like Andrew Telford. Andrew Telford kind of got me started on the matter of jotting down outlines. He'd sit in a restaurant and jot outlines down and hand them to me. And that's kind of been a part of my, not that I think I'm anything, but if I can help some young preacher, if I can kind of instill something in their life, if I can touch them, it's an investment.
Amen, preacher.
Could I tell you, when you come together Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night,
amen,
your pastor is prepared to invest a little more in your life. We're stockholders. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I'm grateful for the investment that others have made in my life,
yes,
and ministry,
sir,
the friendships that we had because of Christ. I heard Dr. Lakin say this. He said there was a young preacher that said to him, said, "Dr. Lakin, I've heard you preach three times." Said, "You preach the same thing every time." He said, "Son, I've heard you preach three times. Don't remember a word you said." My friend Andy Wells said, "I never mark an outline where I preach because God the Holy Ghost might want me to preach that message again."
Yes, sir.
At the same place.
Aren't
you glad that one preacher can't use up one text in a lifetime?
That's right.
And so I've heard Amazing Grace thousands of times.
Yep.
And there's messages that God uses again and again. And I'm not embarrassed or I'm not intimidated about preaching a message if the Lord impresses my heart.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Amen.
That's not an excuse for laziness, though. Hello.
Amen.
I want to see how many preachers we have in the building tonight. God's called you to preach. Could I see your hands? Raise them up high. Let's see. I want to see the preachers that God's called. Wonderful, wonderful. That's great.
Amen.
And I know that God called you to preach His word.
Yes, sir.
Not give your opinion.
That's right.
He didn't call you to preach about the word.
Mm-hmm.
He called you to preach the word. Can I give you just a little thought? This is just for preachers. The rest of you can listen in. But this is just for preachers. I was reading this the other day, and a little thought just jumped out at me, and I haven't preached this yet. I intend to preach it. In the book of Philippians, chapter 1. Now, you can build on this. Philippians, chapter 1. I want you to see with me, if you would please, in verse 14... The Bible said, "And many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, and much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ, even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. The one preached Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds. But the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel." Verse 18, "What then? Notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached.
Yes.
Now, take that thought. Christ is preached. There's a lot of reference to the matter of Christ being preached. We preach peace, but it's a peace of Christ.
Right.
We preach the gospel, but it's a gospel of Christ.
Yes.
We preach the kingdom. We preach the word of God. We preach remission of sin. We preach faith. We preach the cross. But here is the preaching of Christ.
Yes.
He is the subject.
Right.
Preaching of Christ. We read in other places on the preaching of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so take that thought, take that principle, and walk through the scripture and build a message on a preached Christ.
Amen. Amen.
It'll work.
Yes,
and it'll glorify God.
Right.
Now, I have an assignment tonight from the Lord. And I'm confident of that. If you'll notice with me tonight in the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter number 4. Hebrews chapter 4. Now, I've had folks that have said kind things about my ministry. Often I hear people say, "You remind me." And they'll say different ones. Many times they've said, "You remind me of Dr. Harold B. Seitler." Other times folks said, "You remind me of Mays Jackson." Other folks, I don't want to tell you what they said, I remind them. But I was going to the Bahamas. I was preaching a mission conference in Nassau, Bahamas. And I had a layover in Orlando, Florida. And I was standing at a concession stand in line to get to the counter. And this dear black lady came by and said to me, "Mr. Hagee, are you waiting in line?" I said, "I am waiting in line, but I am not Mr. Hagee." Well, folks sometimes say, "Well, you resemble it." I've never had anybody say to me, "Sir, are you the Lord Jesus?" But now, what is his goal? Romans 8:29.
Yes.
His goal is to do what? Conform us to his image.
That's right.
Paul said in Philippians 2:12, he said, "Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." Verse 13 is a key. "For it is Christ that worketh in you. For it is God that worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure."
Yeah.
Here's what happens. You fellas is called to preach. It's God who called you to preach.
Yes.
And it is God who enables you to preach.
Right.
It's like God starting a fire, starting a flame. And the Holy Ghost fans the fire.
Yeah.
It is like God giving the desire and God satisfying the desire. It's like what God starts, God finishes.
That's right.
Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. He's still working on us.
Amen.
What's he doing? He's creating a desire. Now, I've been saved over 56 years, and I've been over 50 years ago, I was called to preach. And I'm not much of a preacher, but there's never been a day. Are you listening? Since God called me to preach, there's never been a day that I didn't want to preach. Now, I've had some high days and a lot of low days, too.
Yeah.
But by the way, there couldn't be any mountains if there wasn't the valleys.
That's right.
You understand that? But the desire is there. God puts that desire in our heart.
Yes.
Not to be seen of men, but that others might see Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Now, let me get the message. Hebrews chapter 4. Now, I don't know whether you know or not, and I'm not going to argue the fact, but I believe the Apostle Paul was a human instrument that God used to pen this epistle. It's written to believers. Somebody said, "I don't believe that." Well, I reckon it'd be all right for you to be wrong in one thing. Here's what he said in Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 14. The Bible said this, seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace, that we might obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Now let me say tonight, there's not anybody in this building that does not have some kind of need.
That's right.
I want to tell you tonight that I know folks who have great need. And I'd like to help them, but I am limited.
Yes, sir.
But I know somebody who's well able.
Amen.
To
Amen.
Do exceeding abundantly.
Yes, sir.
Above all that we can ask or think.
Yes.
And so I want to preach a little while on our sympathetic high priest.
Amen.
Our great high priest.
Yes.
Would you bow with us for prayer? Father in heaven, I love you. Thank you tonight for the good singing that's exalted our Savior, that stirred our heart. And Lord, we thank you for this privilege to stand and represent the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And I pray, Lord, that you'd take our mind and think your thoughts. Take our lips and speak your truth. I pray, blessed Holy Spirit, would you bring conviction? Would you change us? Would you draw us to yourself? And I pray that we'll go away rejoicing in what the Lord has done. I pray that you'd meet needs tonight. Rebuke the enemy. I plead the blood of Christ for protection over every aspect. Bless those in the hospital, those who are sick at home, other needs tonight represented in this building. I pray that you'd help us to be helped tonight from God himself. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Now, I want to remind you tonight that this epistle was written to Hebrew believers that had converted from Judaism to Christianity. And by the way, they're passing through a time of trial and testing as far as their faith is concerned. You listen to me. Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, Simon, Satan hath desired to have you, they may sift you as wheat, but I prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And if you're going to live for God, your faith is going to be tested.
Yes, sir.
Somebody said, my faith never fails. You probably lie about other things too.
Yes, sir. Yep.
I'm saying to you, the object of our faith never fails,
right.
But our faith does fail.
Yes.
Someone said this, a faith that fails before the finish line was faulty from the first.
Yep.
Faith is a gift of God.
Yes, sir.
But our faith grows. How? Faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the word of God.
Yes.
Answered prayer, our faith is increased.
Right.
Our faith is strengthened. But you might as well brace yourself. In this world, your faith is going to be tested.
Yes, sir, preacher.
Now be careful, because sometimes I hear people say, boy, I never would do that. My boy wouldn't do that. My girl wouldn't do that. You better qualify that except by the grace of God. Hey, only by the grace of God can we stand the testings that come in our life. You're not sufficient, and I'm not sufficient, but praise his name, the altogether sufficient one lives in us. My life verse, if someone asked me to sign their Bible, I'd put down 2 Corinthians 3:5. That's my life verse. Not that we're sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. And by the way, it is not me, it is not you, it's not your ministry, it's not my ministry, it's all his ministry. Amen. Now, these believers were going through a time of testing as far as their faith in Christ was concerned. Now, the writer draws our attention to who? The Lord Jesus Christ. He's the great high priest who has a sympathetic heart. Praise God and the Lamb forever. I'm glad that he cares. Does Jesus care? Oh, yes, he cares. His heart is touched with our grief. I'm saying, as a sympathetic heart, who is well able to strengthen, he's able to succor, he's able to sustain, and despite our the oppression and despite the opposition that comes against him, he's well able. Now notice with me five or six little things. I'll say them as someone said they had time keeping up with writing notes. I'm sympathetic with you, but I don't have but one gear. I'll try to do the best I can and try to emphasize the big points tonight. Notice with me, first of all, if you would please, in our text, the Bible said, verse 14, seeing then we have a great high priest. Now, I want you to see with me, first of all, that is an irrefutable fact.
That's right.
You cannot refute that. Jesus is our great high priest. Chapter 1 of Hebrews, notice with me verse 3. The Bible said this. He said, who being in the brightness of his glory and express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Now be reminded that Old Testament priests, listen, their work was never finished.
Right.
There was not a chair in the tabernacle.
That's
but
right.
Praise God when he, hallelujah to God. Could I say, Hebrews said this. He said, for by one offering, he's perfected forever them that are sanctified.
Yes.
I hear folk talking about, we're praying that God would send another Pentecost. There cannot be another Pentecost unless there's another Calvary, and there'll not be another Calvary. Jesus paid the price in full. It's an irrefutable fact. He is our great high priest. Now, notice the purification for sins is the work of Christ, our great high priest. It's this, I'm saying, having dealt with the question of human sin and all its terrifying totality, once and for all, on the cross of Calvary, by his voluntary, vicarious, and victorious work, he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. I remind you tonight, there's only one of the Godhead that has a body, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ, our great high priest. He's our sympathetic great high priest. He's seated at the right hand of the throne of God. He's there making intercession for us. Is an irrefutable fact. Chapter 2, notice with me, chapter 2, verse 17. The Bible said, wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. Now, notice with me, please. He's a merciful and faithful high priest. Hallelujah. I'm glad that the songwriter said, mercy there was great and grace was free and pardon was multiplied to me. It was at Calvary, praise God. In the book, hallelujah. Could I say in the book of Lamentations, he said that the mercies of God are brand new every morning. So I got up yesterday morning, God gave me a whole wagon load of mercy. I didn't use it all up yesterday, but I woke up this morning. And again, God gave me a whole wagon load of mercy. Praise God for grace, but I thank God for mercy. Mercy is God restraining for me that which I really deserve. Thank God for mercy. And so I see this. He makes propitiation for sin. People are reconciled, not sin. Sin has to be judged. And God's holiness is satisfied. And that's a solid foundation for us was laid by his death on Calvary. In which, the righteous God can pardon and propitiate. And a man can be reconciled to God. I've been reconciled.
Right.
I'm no longer an enemy.
Right.
I'm no longer an outcast.
Yeah.
I'm a child of the King, praise God. I'm saying a great high priest who can be merciful, compassionate, and understanding. Listen to man in making propitiation for his sin, and he's faithful. He's true in every aspect to God in satisfying all the requirements of a holy and just and righteous God. Chapter 3, notice with me verse 1. Chapter 3, the Bible said, wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house. For this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who hath builded the house hath more honor than the house. I'm saying he is our faithful, great, sympathetic high priest, and he's yours and he's mine. The text did not say, seeing then we will have. And it didn't say, seeing then that we did have. But it did say, seeing then that we have. Hallelujah. Praise God. I'm glad right now I have a great high priest seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Now, let me say this. He's able to strengthen our faith and our trust in him. Let me say second, not only the fact of a great high priest is an irrefutable fact. Secondly, could I say the incomparability of our great high priest. Now, if you'll let me just walk through this and give you the references, I'll take time to turn to every passage of scripture. We'll be here to midnight. But I want you to notice with me that not only is it the irrefutable fact, he's our great high priest. That's who he is. And so the incomparability of our great high priest, none can compare with him. In chapter 1 and verse 1, he's greater than the prophets. In chapter 1, verse 4 through 14, he's greater than the angels. In chapter 3, verse 3 through 6, he's greater than Moses. In chapter 4, verse 6 through 11, he's greater than Joshua. In chapter 5, verse 3 through 10, he's greater than Aaron. In Matthew chapter 12, verse 6, he's greater than the temple. In Matthew chapter 12, verse 41, he's greater than Jonah. In the book of Matthew 12, verse 42, he's greater than Solomon. In the book of Luke chapter 7, verse number 28, he's greater than John the Baptist. The woman down at Sychar's well asked the question, and she said, art thou greater than our father Jacob? And the answer is, oh yes, he's greater than our father Jacob. The Jews asked the Lord, art thou greater than our father Abraham? And again, Jesus said, before Abraham was, I am. Hallelujah. I'm grateful tonight that I have a great high priest, and nobody, no one can compare. He's mine and he's yours. A great high priest. He's the uncreated, underived, self-existent, self-determining, self-sustaining, eternal God. He's our great high priest. Christ, our great high priest, is incomparable in his greatness and incomparable in his glory. He's our great high priest. Now I come to the third big point. Not only the incomparability of our great high priest and the irrefutable fact of a great high priest, but number three, the identity of a great high priest. Now, it won't be hard. You'll be able to understand these little simple thoughts. But by the way, the words might be simple, and I might be a simple preacher, but you can't find a greater subject in this whole Bible. Hallelujah. Yeah. Praise God and the Lamb forever. I'm glad that he is right now, presently, our great high priest. And so I see the identity of the great high priest. Notice the verse again in the book of Hebrews chapter 4. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens. Who is he? Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our profession. He said there's a good reason for us to hold fast our profession, because Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is our great high priest. He's ascended to heaven. He's seated at the right hand of the throne of God. And by the way, he's not up there twiddling his thumbs. He's not up there drinking Maalox. No. I'm saying to you, he knows all about us and all about everybody else around the world, and he represents us well as a great high priest. Jesus is a name associated with his humanity, his manhood, his messiahship, his saviorhood. He's God's appointed one. He's God's anointed one. He's God's approved one. He's the Christ. There's none like him. He's the long-promised seed of the woman. He's a Savior of whom it was announced, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin. He's the Jehovah of the Old Testament. He's Jesus of the New Testament. He's the Son of God. He's your great high priest. It's a personal possession. Praise God and the Lamb forever. It'd be good for somebody to say, praise God, I'm glad he's my great high priest. The Son of God is a name associated with deity. It's a name associated with his eternality, his equality with the Father and with the Holy Spirit. Now then, I'm going somewhere. Notice with me, I believe this is number four. The interest of our great high priest. Now, let's read our text again. Seeing didn't we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Be reminded of this, the interest of a great high. We have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. But he has a personal interest in you. He has a personal interest. If someone got saved this morning, he has a personal interest in it. He's their great high priest. Seated right hand there. We have a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. Now notice this. He has a personal interest concerning my infirmities, our infirmities. Yes. That speaks of my weakness.
Yes.
That speaks of my failures. Yeah. I mean, some folk act like they didn't have any weakness.
Yeah.
And some folk act like, you know, they've got all the answers. They don't even know the questions. Notice this. This tells us that tells us of the compassion and the sympathy and the empathy of our great high priest who has a deep interest.
Yes.
Could I tell you that young folks are facing things today that we as adults did not face back 25, 35, 40 years ago?
Right.
But I want to remind you that we have the same God.
Yeah,
that enabled Daniel to purpose in his heart not to divide himself with the portion of the king's meat.
That's right.
Daniel was one who decided what he was going to decide before he decided.
Yeah. Yeah, man.
And if you wait to decide when you're confronted with a situation, you'll fall every time. Hello, everybody in the house tonight. I'm saying, understand that you ought to decide, determined by the grace of God, that you're not going that way. You're going the right way, amen. You're going to stand for righteousness and for godly living and for separated life, amen. And if you're going to be a man of God, don't be a pussyfooter. Don't be a compromiser. Don't cut corners. Don't change the book. Don't change the message. Don't change the music. I'm saying, stand in the old paths. Mm-hmm. And so I say this, he has an interest in our frailties. He's touched. That means to be acquainted with, to be sympathetic toward, to be empathetic in all that affects us or afflicts us from time to time. He's one who is touched. That means he has fellow feelings with us, and he shares the experiences of his people. Oh, yeah. There's times, you know what the Lord said to Peter when he's approaching him about washing his feet? The Lord said to Peter, he said, what I do, thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter.
Yeah.
You know what he said? And Peter said, now, Lord, I don't understand. And the Lord said, Peter, I understand that you don't understand, but you will understand.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. Hello? He is touched with. He knows where you are.
Right.
He knows what you're going through, whether it be physical, financial, family, matters not what department it's in, he knows all about it.
That's right.
And praise God, Brother Vic, he can help.
Amen.
Sometimes the help doesn't come the same way I thought it ought to come.
Yep.
But he's working it all out.
That's right.
For my good and for his glory. He's our great high priest.
Amen.
He has a personal interest in us. And so he's concerned about my conduct. He's concerned about my conflicts.
Yes.
He's concerned about my calling.
Yep.
He's concerned about my crowning.
Right.
He's our great high priest.
Amen.
See, that's right hand on. Now, notice with me number 5. I want you to see the involvement of our great high priest.
Yes.
The Bible said he was tested in how many points? All points, like as we are. So, he's tested the same way we are tested. How was he tested? He was tested in body.
Right.
He was tested in soul. And he was tested in spirit. That's how you'll be tested.
Right.
In body, soul, and spirit. In Matthew 4 verse 3, we see him being tested in his body.
Right.
In Luke chapter 4 verse 9, we're tested in soul. In Matthew chapter 4 verse 9, he's tested in spirit. And so in the midst of all the temptation, he is our great high priest.
That's right.
He's our great high priest.
Amen.
By the way, he's unmoved and unmovable.
He's undefiled and undefilable. He's uncontaminated. In addition to being perfectly human, he knew what it was to be hungry. He knew what it was to be tired. He knew what it was to be thirsty. He knew what it was to have compassion. He knew what it was to weep. He's our great high priest who is involved in every aspect of our life. Could I tell you, the devil tell you that God is not concerned about this detail of your life? I remind you that he's a liar and the father of it, that our great high priest is interested in everything that touches your life and touches my life. He's our great high priest. And he's passed through the same experience of human life, yet without sin. That brings me to this thought, the impeccability of a great high priest. I was preaching in a church down near Atlanta, and the pastor was in the hospital. It was an unusual setting, pastor in the hospital. And so there was a man visiting their church, was a very wealthy man. And so he asked if he could take us to lunch, my wife and I. And so pastor said, well, that'd be fine. So he took us to one of these fancy, fancy country clubs. We felt kind of like a pork chop in a Jewish synagogue. That means we felt like we was real out of place. But in the course of the conversation, this man who's supposed to be an educated man as far as the biblical truth is concerned made this statement. He said, I really believe that Jesus Christ could sin. Now, I want to tell you, if Jesus Christ committed one sin, you don't have a Savior.
That's right.
But he did not sin.
Amen.
He knew no sin.
Right.
He was made to be sin for us, but he knew no sin.
Amen.
Tested at all points like as we are, yet without sin.
Yeah.
It means this. He is impeccable. In him is no sin, 1 John 3:5. He knew no sin, 2 Corinthians 5:21. He did no sin, 1 Peter 2:22. He was without sin, Hebrews 4:15. And 1 Peter 2:22, there's no guile found in his mouth. In Hebrews 7:24, he's a holy and harmless. And Pontius Pilate said, I find no fault in him. And Pilate's wife said, she suffered much because of this just man. And the Roman centurion said, certainly this was the Son of God. And Jesus himself said, I am he.
Amen.
I'm saying he's Christ himself. He's a lamb without spot and without blemish.
Right.
He's perfect and pure. He was impeccable. That is this. He could not sin. He was infallible. He did not sin. There was no impurity and no imperfections in him. He's the spotless Lamb of God, slain before the foundation of the world. And by the way, he is your great high priest. He's doing business for you now at the right hand of the throne. So I see the intercession of the great high priest. Now notice with me verse 16. The Bible said, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we might obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Now, what's all that based on? On the basis that we have a great high priest.
Yes.
Aren't you glad tonight that you don't have to go down to some little booth and whisper through a knot hole to someone that's dressed up like mama and they call him father?
Oh, yeah. Amen.
Are you listening?
Yeah.
Based upon the fact that we have a great high priest, we can become boldly to the throne of grace that we might obtain mercy and find grace to help in time. Now, intercession, what's he doing? He's making intercession for us.
Yes.
It is this. Intercession means to seek the presence and hearing of God on behalf of others.
Yes.
Now, I don't mean to, but sometimes I forget prayer requests. Do you? I don't know but one who doesn't forget, and that's the Lord Jesus.
That's right.
But I mean well. Yep. Sometimes I even write them down. And I have folks said, would you pray with me? Listen, I'm saying to you, I'm grateful that he never forgets to pray for me. Hallelujah. This day, he's prayed for me.
That's right.
It means to do what? To seek the presence and hearing of God on behalf of others. Our Lord warned Peter, Simon, Sidon, Satan hath desired to have you, to make you as wheat, but I pray for thee, thy faith fail not. Luke 22, verse 31 and 32. He said, I have prayed for you. Do you think the Lord loved Peter more than he loves you? He prays for you too.
That's right.
He prays for me. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. That ought to put a little spezzerinctum in the gable end of your soul.
Amen.
He prays for you. And can I say this? He's always there. He's our intercession without fail, despite our constant failures. I fail him. He never fails me. Next big thought. I want you to consider with me the inclusiveness, the inclusive exhortation. Now, twice in the text tonight, he used these two words, let us, let us. First, he said, let us hold fast the profession of our faith. Let us hold fast. That is a conscious decision and determination of the entire mind and emotions and will to do what God wants me to do. I better say that one more time. It is a conscious decision and determination of the entire mind, emotions, and will to do what God wants me to do. Now, listen to me. Paul said, when I do good, evil is present with me. And ladies and gentlemen, our problem tonight is not so much we don't know. It's the problem we're not doing. Hello? Anybody home? I want to say hello in radio land. Are you tuned in?
Yeah.
We know what to do, but we're not doing it.
Yes, sir.
Good people, moral people, upright people, church-going people, Bible-reading people.
Right.
But we're not doing what God said to do. Now, I'm saying this. It's an inclusive exhortation. It's given to all believers, to every believer, a conscious decision and determination of our entire mind, emotions, and will to do what he wants to do. Now, notice with me, please, back in our text, verse number 14 again. The last phrase, he said, let us hold fast our profession. Let us hold fast our profession. That is, that we are, here's an exhortation of unwavering trust to hold fast. Now, I hear preachers say, and I'm sorry to even have to say this, but I hear it, and it's going on today. Men that have been in ministry for years and years, some longer than I have, they make statements like this. I used to believe that way. I used to hold that line. But I learned better. And it tells me that they are educated beyond their intelligence. If it was right 50 years ago, it's still right tonight. And if it was wrong 50 years ago, it's still wrong tonight. We've got churches across America that's seeking to negotiate with sin to make it fit in order to have a crowd. I tell you what, I'd rather have 3 in a phone booth and have the power of God upon me than to have 500 without any power of God. You're welcome. And saying, let us hold fast our profession. Let us keep on holding fast. Let's cling tenaciously to. Let us never slip the grasp of our confession of faith. That's why Paul said, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded it is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day.
Amen.
We know that. We're not wishing it. We're not hoping it. We know that. And so he's our great high priest. And let us hold fast our profession. Just stay with it.
Yes.
We believe that folks are saved by grace through faith, plus nothing and minus nothing.
Right.
We believe that folks are saved, had to repent to get saved. We believe that when you get saved, you ought to be biblically baptized.
Yes.
Amen. We believe those who have been saved by the grace of God, biblically baptized, ought to be a member of a fundamental Baptist church. Amen. We believe those who've been saved, baptized, and become a member of Fundamental Baptist Church ought to tithe their income through the local church. Amen. Dr. Ray Hancock used to say there's only one thing that 2 independent Baptists can agree on. That's what the third one ought to give. Hey, the tithe is God's, and if you're not tithing, you're a God robber. Said, how'd you get that over there? The great high priest just fit right in. He's our great high priest.
Amen.
Now, notice this. He said, let us come how? Let us, therefore, let us, notice again. He said, let us, therefore, based on what? Our great high priest,
right,
seated right in the throne of God. Who is he? The Lord Jesus Christ. None to compare with him. And based upon that, let us hold fast our profession of faith. But let us, therefore, come boldly under the throne of grace that we might obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need.
Right.
Do you have a need tonight? And by the way, I'm grateful that I don't have to wait to a time of emergency to touch base with heaven.
That's right. Amen.
I'm glad when I call, I never get a call waiting. Hello. I call preachers sometime to talk to them, and they'll have an answer machine live for them. And so they'll have a recording and say, your call is very important to us. If you just leave your number, we'll get back with you as soon as possible. And some of them are just screening the calls.
Yeah, they do.
Hello.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you, there's no call waiting, and there's no screening any calls. That little boy that got saved yesterday can come boldly to the throne of grace, just like grandma and grandpa can come boldly to the throne of grace. Amen. And by the way, he has needs just like grandma and grandpa have. Yes. Now notice with me this. He said it's an exhortation that's of unimpeded access. We come fearlessly. We come confidently. And what a privilege. Our portion is to be able to come boldly to the throne of grace. Now, why are we coming? That we might obtain, that we might obtain mercy, that's unfailing love. That we might obtain mercy, this is to cover us for the things we should not have done, mercy for our past shortcomings. By the way, there's not been anybody in this building who hasn't come short somewhere today. But there's mercy. Hallelujah. Praise God for mercy. I'm glad God doesn't throw the clay away. I'm glad that it makes it anew. Hallelujah. I'm glad that it can be restored. Amen.
Hallelujah.
They said of our Lord, they said, is not this the carpenter? And I say, oh yes. He's the carpenter. He makes some things. Amen. He made the universe, but he made man in his likeness. Amen. But he not only makes things, he mends things. Hallelujah. Praise God and the Lamb. I'm glad that he doesn't throw us out or boot us out. We can be restored back to fellowship. Amen. Well, let me say this. He said that we might obtain mercy. And then he said, to find grace to help. That is to abound in undeserved favor. There's grace just when and where we need it to enable us to do what we should do. But we do not have the strength to do it on our own. Grace for our present and future service. Grace. I had Johnny Pope, he's a close friend, had him preach for me several times. One time he said, wouldn't it be wonderful if you had an eyeball in the end of your finger so you could look around the corner and see what's coming around the corner? I said, that might be great to look around the corner, but it'd be tough when you put your hand in your pocket. God designed man the way he wanted to be designed. I had him coming in. He was coming in from Hammond, Indiana. He flew into Atlanta. He was supposed to be coming into Tallahassee. I was going to pick him up there. When he got to Atlanta, they canceled his flight. So they put him on a little commuter flight from Atlanta, and they flew him into Moultrie, Georgia. Moultrie is just a little wide space in the road. And so I picked him up in Moultrie. He was shaking. And he said, I've never had such a rough ride in my life. And I said, tell me about it. He said, boy, he said we'd be up and down, just bouncing around everywhere, just all the way from Atlanta. But he said, I knew I wasn't going to die. I said, how's that? He said, God didn't give me dying grace. Y'all all right? God gives us grace each step of the way, all the way from here to glory. And he will give new grace when it's your time to go. Now, he said, find grace in time of need. Grace for the present and future service to help us in our need. For that seasonable help. That's help in good time. That's well-timed help. That's help in the nick of time. God's help is never a moment too soon and never a moment too late. I thank God it's a throne of grace and not a throne of judgment.
Amen.
I'm saying a throne of grace from the God of all grace. A throne characterized by grace that's undeserved and unmerited. Divine favor, the favorable, gracious disposition of God towards sinners on account of Christ and what he did for us at Calvary. It's a throne of grace and it's always approachable. It's a throne of grace and it's always accessible. It's the only acceptable means of access. The privilege is always there. It's available. He's always there. No postponement. He's always there to answer our petitions.
He answers our questions. So to whom do we come? To where do we come? Well, we come to the throne of grace. How do we come? Well, we come boldly. Yes. Why do we come? To obtain mercy. Yeah. Find grace to help in time of need. So when do I come? Just when I need him. Just when I need him, Jesus is near.
That's right.
Just when I falter, just when I fear, ready to help me, ready to cheer, just when I need him most. Ladies and gentlemen, I'll report to you tonight that our sympathetic, great high priest is faithful and merciful.
That's right, preacher.
And he's interested in your need tonight. We used to have Brother Robert Taylor, who authored two of those books on the table back there. He's 91 years old. He pastored one church 46 years in Tallahassee, Florida. And he used to have a friend from in the hills of Tennessee that would come to preach, an old country preacher. His name was Odell Good. And Odell Good would finish up his message and say, "Tonight would be a good night to come down to the altar and just unload." I want to tell you that the Lord said we can cast our every care.
That's right.
Upon him, for he cares for you. Amen. There's not anybody in the building that doesn't know somebody that's hurting tonight. It might be in your family. It might be in your church. It might be something you're not even aware of. But aren't you glad tonight that we have a great high priest seated at the right hand of the throne of God?
Yes.
Would you bow with us in prayer tonight?
Thank
you. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. I wonder tonight if you'd be honest with yourself and God, and you'd say, "Preacher, I really don't know about anybody else, but I know that the Spirit of God has tugged at my heartstrings tonight. Would you please remember me when you pray?" Could I see the hands across the building? Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Seeing then we have a great high priest that's entered into the heaven. His name is Jesus. He's seated at the right hand of the throne of God. He's making intercession for you. He has interest in your life, your hurts, your disappointments, your fears. He knows all about that, and he's interested. I want to challenge you tonight, and I'm not one that pushes for folk to respond, but I want to give you an opportunity tonight just to come and unload. You might come and say, "Lord, I didn't come to ask you for anything. I just come to say thank you for being my faithful, sympathetic, great high priest." Will you stand with us? Father, bless, I pray, this invitation. Get glory for yourself. In Jesus' name I pray.